Thanks, Nick. Let's all stand together if you can, if you're able. We'll just read a few verses together, and then we'll let you be seated. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, the verses we read last week, we will not read all of them. John chapter 15, verse 1. Encourage you to have a Bible if you, when you come. If you don't have one, ask your Sunday school teacher. They'll give you one. Just kidding. John chapter 15, verse 1. I believe we'll read about five verses here. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in the vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And we'll stop right there. Let's pray this morning. Father, I pray you'd bless our few minutes together. Help us, Lord, to get that which you have for us. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be vigilant, to make sure that we just have a strong, firm relationship with you. And Lord, help us to deal with anything which would keep us from having that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, let me give you a minute or two of review so before we move on. Last week, we talked about the choices that we have in our life. We basically said that the type of life you have, the type of Christian life you have because you choose to have that life. You are where you are at because that's where you choose to be at. We must be willing to take responsibility for where we're at. By the way, there's a negative aspect to that, but there's also a positive. We can choose to have the best. We can choose to have the things that God wants us to have, but we must take responsibility. We don't, look, too many people are chained to excuses, which justify in their mind for them being where they are at. I'm telling you to just unchain those excuses. And let's be where God wants us to be at. We saw last week that based on our choices, we are either as fruitful as we want to be. We looked at all these last week. We are as successful as we want to be. We are as spiritual as we want to be. We are as heard by from God as we want to be. In other words, in our prayer life. We are as loving as we want to be. And we are as joyful as we choose to be. We talked last week that the key is that to making the right choices is that we follow what the verses here tell us to do, which is to abide in Christ. In other words, have a life-giving connection to Christ, because if we have that life-giving connection to Christ, a natural outcurrence will be that we will grow, and these things that we mentioned will be a part of our life. It'll happen naturally because God is giving us the spiritual energy to bring it to pass. So what we're saying is, if we're going to grow and experience this in our life, it's that connection to Christ that brings the life. We talked about that last week. You can call it abiding in Christ. Spiritual growth should be a natural occurrence for a Christian. It just ought to be natural. If you plant a seed or you have a tree that is a fruit tree and the tree is healthy, the natural occurrence or the natural result will be that that tree bears fruit. It's natural because everything's healthy. That branch that produces the fruit will produce the fruit because it's connected to the rest of the tree, which gives it the life-giving source it needs. The same is true in our life. When we're connected to Christ, naturally, we have his spirit, we have his power to see that come to pass in our life. The growth that takes place, again, because we're connected. On the flip side, if we don't abide in Christ, we disconnect, we dry up, and we die spiritually. There are people that I have known over the years, and no doubt there's probably someone here, maybe you don't feel as close to God as you used to be. Maybe you feel like your Christian life, there was a time when things were better, and I just don't feel like I'm where I'm at. You may have disconnected. And so we're encouraging you to be connected. Now, if we do connect and we abide in Christ, here's the key. That will involve change. We will be different. God will change us. As we look last week at the fruit of the Spirit, all those things in here, those characteristics, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, you name it. Those are not natural to our flesh. Those are not natural to me. And if any of that is going to take place in my life, God is going to bear that fruit in my life as I am connected to Him. And I will change. We don't like change. By the way, let me give you an encouragement about change. When you do it like you're supposed to, you get used to it, it becomes a part of you. It's a little foreign at first. But if you start to change, you'll look at your life 6 months from now and say, man, how did I ever put up with that before? I was listening to some guy who was talking about, actually was talking a little bit about health. He goes, if you change the way you eat for 6 months, the stuff you didn't used to like, if you can just hang on for 6 months, your body actually changes and you like that stuff. I used to love V8, not the engine, okay? How many of you know the V8 juice? Anybody like that stuff? What do you mean, help us? It's better than Pepsi. I used to like that because I thought it was healthy. By the way, it's healthier than Coke and Pepsi and all that other nonsense. So I quit drinking Coke years ago, and I'm drinking V8, and I'm like, man, that stuff is good. Well, my wife's like, no, that's junk. And then she feeds me pizza, but I don't understand that. But that's junk. And so it's no good, and you need the real stuff. So years ago, she got me to buy a Vitamix. And so I drink juice pretty regularly. Probably 5-6 days a week I have some type of juice, and she makes it fresh. She gets the Vitamix, she throws all the stuff in, a couple pieces of fruit to give it some flavor. By the way, it looks bad. You have to get past the look, okay? So sometimes you come in my office, some of you have been in my office, it's like, during lunch, it's like, what is that stuff? So I don't know what it is, but I drink it fast because it looks like something that came out of my granddaughter's diaper. It is not good, okay? It's not. But you know what? That is pure vegetables. We don't add sugar, nothing. We put vegetables, we put a couple fruit, we throw water in it, and I down it as fast as I possibly can. But I remember after doing that for a few years, I tried a V8, and it tasted like garbage. It has so much sodium in it. Because my taste buds had changed. I was so used to the pure vegetables that the stuff over here, they does have vegetables in it, but there's a lot of other stuff that they have to put in there to get you to drink it, that tasted almost junky to me, and I used to love that stuff. We change. Our appetites change. And so on this road you're going, you say, man, sometimes if you're newer here and you hear some things or you look at something in the Bible and say, wow, that's just kind of foreign to what I'm doing. I'm telling you, get on board with it, because 6 months from now, a year from now, it's like, I can't believe that other stuff I actually thought was good. I still eat pizza. I put it in the blender with the vegetable. Then it's like it's one of the major food groups. All right. Where were we at? We're talking about God, right? Be careful, because when you do change, people around you might be confused. I remember my dad. I worked for my dad when I was unsaved, and I'm working there. And man, he's like, man, you ought to get a haircut, clean your life up, man. And he's getting on me all the time. And then I quit working for him. I got saved, got right with God. I changed my life. I went back working for him again. He's like, what's wrong with you? You're listening to Bible stuff. Your hair's too short. You're not going out anymore. What are you doing? I'm like, man, what do you want me to do? Now, he wasn't being mean. He was confused. And I'm still confused. Now, if we're going to be connected to Christ like we encouraged you to do last week, what I want to point out today is there are some things that will kill that connection. They'll kill it. And so we have to watch for these things. Some of them are basically good things we don't do. So what are some of these things? By the way, you have to constantly work on it. You have to be vigilant to make sure these things don't creep into our life. It's just like a marriage. A marriage, you can't put a marriage on autopilot. Because if you put it on autopilot, it's going to head to disorder. By the way, that's any relationship. You see, what usually happens in a marriage, here's a couple and they're dating and they're in love with each other. And, oh, wow, everything's wonderful. They're the best person in the world and all this stuff. And then they get married. And now they live together. And it's like, whoa, I didn't know that about you before because you didn't live with her before. And she didn't live with you. And then what happens is you still love each other and you're going forward. And then things come into your life that can start to nip at that love. By the way, it could be children. You put the children before the marriage. By the way, spouses, don't do that. And by the way, little bunny Fufu, she shouldn't be sleeping with you. That has nothing to do with the message. That was free. Oh, I love those little kids. They're so adorable. Stick them in the crib. Okay? They won't die. And you'll sleep better. Amen? Okay? But you put the children, and then finances. Now, before you were married, when you were just dating, you saw each other, you had a great time together. She went home, you went home. It was all good. Ain't happening. Now the finances. And what happens is all these little things that are just natural occurrences of life, we let them creep into the love aspect, and it starts to chip away at our love. We got to put those things in its proper perspective. Don't let that get at that relationship. Now, the same is true spiritually speaking. We're connected to Christ. We're having a great time. Everything's happening. And little things start to creep in if we're not careful. What are some of these things? Well, the first one I would mention is we're not getting into or learning God's word. That's a big one. That's where our connection to Christ really starts. How are we connect? How do we even know about God? It's right there in His Word. And what happens is we you know, when you first look, when I first got right with God, I'm like, man, I'm getting in the Bible. I hadn't read the thing. I didn't grow up in church. I thought, man, I'm behind. I read that Bible through in 3 months. Now, what? I've read the Bible a lot of times. And if I'm not careful, I'll start to rely on what I know from the past, and I have no relationship with the Bible in the present. I don't force myself because I enjoy it. I follow the church's Bible reading calendar, and then I have two other calendars I follow myself. I do read through it 3 times a year. Now, some people, I'll read 40 chapters a day. That's fine. Go right ahead. I'm trying to retain what I'm reading, though. But I want to make sure that I'm not, there wasn't a time that I loved the Bible more in the past than I do in the present. I'm trying to stay connected to Christ. It's hard enough for me to make it now on my own in this world if I don't have God helping me. Man, I need God's help. I think we do too. How many of you need God's help? Yeah, that's where it is right there. And the things of life crowd it out because it doesn't scream at us. It's not like your job where if you're not there at 8 o'clock, your boss is like, where are you at? We got to make time for it. And it's so easy. Look at Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. We'll read a couple of verses here. Look at 119 and we'll start at verse 9. Psalms is just about the middle of the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Or a young lady or an old lady. Or an old man. That's my old man. I get it. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way or have that life that God wants and do the things God wants in their life? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With thy whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Bible is the primary way we connect to Christ. If we are not in our Bibles, now listen, if we are not in our Bibles, it's like trying to have a vibrant relationship with somebody without ever letting them talk to you. Now think about that in your marriage. What if you had a marriage and your wife never talked to you? Okay, that's a bad example. Let's move on here. that might make things better. Man. No. Calm down, Jerry. Linda puts up with a lot. It's important to communicate. Lord, I love you and I want to have a relationship with you, but you cannot talk to me. I will not listen. I know we don't mean it like that. I understand that. But that's what, in essence, we're doing when we don't crack open our Bibles. We're not letting God talk to us. And God wants to talk to you. Now, he wants you to talk to him, too, in prayer. But we need to pray. We need to do both. But it's vitally important God speaks to us. Everything we do, even prayer, comes from the fact we're hearing from God. We're supposed to be doing that. He needs to talk to us. The word wherewithal in verse 9 would mean the means to or the ability to. In other words, where does a young man get the ability or the means to be able to cleanse his way, to change his life, to have the kind of life that God wants him to have? He says it's from the Word. It's from the Word. So we're not getting into the Bible. We must choose his Word. If you're following your Bible reading schedule, I think we finished up Isaiah this morning, but a few days ago, I read this verse in Isaiah. It said, Isaiah 48, verse 18, it says, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." God's almost lamenting here to the children of Israel and said, man, I wish you would listen to my word. Then you would have peace in your life. See, too many of us, we don't listen to God's word and we got drama in our life. What God's saying, man, I wish you'd get in there. And it can seem daunting. Don't look at the size of the book. I'll just be honest, I like to read. I don't like real thick books. I'm like, brother, if you can't say it in a couple hundred pages, I ain't got time for that. How, you know, and I like pictures too. In fact, I love Dr. Seuss. Man, he was so profound. Just kidding. Don't look at it and say, that's a big book. And by the way, there's no pictures unless you get like the, you get like the Hello Kitty Bible. I'm sure they'll have that soon. They got Hello Kitty everything. Someone sent a pic. They have Hello Kitty wine. Really? Hello Kitty's an alcoholic now? It's bite-sized pieces. A little a day. If you follow a Bible reading schedule, it's about average 3 chapters a day. And I encourage you to do that. You say, I really don't know how to do that. Talk to your teacher. And I know, summertime, it seems like we would have more time, but it seems like the more time we have, the less scheduled we are. Isn't that how it happens? Man, you're on vacation. I got all this free time to do all this stuff. I mean, I go on vacation. I got these 6, 7, 8 books I'm going to read. And I go home and I'm like, I read 2 of them. And that was the Dr. Seuss books. The other ones I didn't read. But the more time we have, and maybe this summer you kind of got a little unfaithful in it. Hey, get back in. That's okay. Just jump back in where you're at. We're not getting into our Bible. Number 2, we don't guard what gets into our mind. We don't guard what gets into our mind. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We'll read verses 1 and 2. Very well-known verses, but they're very profound verses, to be real honest with you. Romans chapter 12, not 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul says this, I beseech. Beseech means to beg. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That really is stewardship in a nutshell, giving ourselves to God. But look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. The word conform means to be like pressed into a mold. When I was a little boy, I remember I had a little Play-Doh set. And they had this little thing, it looked like a stapler, and you put the Play-Doh in it, and you'd squish it down, and it had this little thing that slid in the front. It had like squares and triangles and circles, and whatever it was, if you pressed the Play-Doh, whatever the little opening was, you forced it out, and that's what it looked like. It looked like a plus, or it looked like an X, or it looked like a zero. That's what the world tries to do. It squeezes everybody into its mold. Everybody's ideology has to be the same. Everybody's got to believe the same, and it's usually anti-God, and we all just want to, that's why everybody, oh, you teenagers, I want to be cool, I'm going to be different, I'm going to look just like everybody else. So that's what the world does. It presses you into that mold. God says, don't be conformed to just the principles of this world. What does he say? He continues. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Transformed. The word's metamorphosized. It's like a caterpillar that turns into a, it goes into the cocoon and it comes out. And it turns into a beautiful butterfly. I remember as a little boy at my grandparents' house, and they had the old picket fence, and they had this bush, and all these beautiful butterflies would come and fly, and they would land on the little flowers on the bush, and I would sneak up there when they weren't flapping their wings, and I'd pinch their wings and catch them. Anybody ever do that? And then I threw them into the spider web and let nature take its course. Sorry, it was great. Spider would come and eat, you know, the whole ball. It was great. Where'd that come from? Oh, but what the caterpillar does, it has everything inside it needed to become a butterfly and land in the spider's web. So what happens when it's in the cocoon, what's on the inside comes out and metamorphosizes itself. That's how you change. You change what's going into your mind, what you're listening to, what you're hearing to, what you're learning, and what you put in your mind comes out in your actions. That's how you change. You have to change your way of thinking. I remember as a junior higher, the time I did go to school, they'd show us those videos about drug addiction. Now, this is a long time ago, back before they invented cars, you know, it was forever. And we're in there, and it's showing this video. Here's this guy, and he was a drug addict, and they cleaned him up. And the point they were making was very valid. They would never do it today in our schools. It'd be offensive, but They said this, then they showed this guy, and I remember he came out of the center and he's all cleaned up and he looks great and he's walking down the street, and as he walks by an alley, a guy steps out. Psst. The guy sees the guy, goes right back into drugs, and they're saying, you can change physically, but you have to change the way you're thinking about it. You see, if you want to be what God wants you to be, you've got to really put a grip on, what are you thinking about? What's getting into your mind? He says, you want to be transformed? You want to be what I want you to be? It happens by the renewing of your mind. Now listen to this and hear this carefully. You cannot control how what goes into your mind affects your life. You can't. If you're putting junk into your mind, you can't control it. Your life is going to follow that way. But you can control what you put into your mind. If you're putting the right kind of things in your mind, you're going to have the right kind of actions in your life. But if you're putting the wrong kind of things in your mind, you are going to have the wrong kind of actions in your life. That's why it is ridiculous for someone to get up and say, I'm listening to songs about, you know, all illicit sex and all this garbage, and it's not going to affect me. Yes, it is. It is. Oh, you know, no, I just listen to that stuff for the music. I don't really care about the words. That's nonsense. By the way, I'll get off here in a minute. You know, the world, they're hypocritical. Ah, doesn't matter what the words are. It's just the music. Really? Then how do they teach children things? And how do they try? Remember the 80s, you know, we don't want kids doing drugs. They had a song, don't just say no, just say no drugs. I remember that song. Listen, my little girl, Emily, when she was about a year and a half, she knew her ABCs. You know why? Because we had this ridiculous little machine, and she would sit there with it, and she'd press the button. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, da, na, 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 na. And I remember she'd come and sit on my lap, and she'd push that button every 30 times in a row. Thump, thump. I'm like, you're kidding me. You're killing my brain cells. Thump, thump. But after listening to that song over and over and over, did she know her ABCs? No, but she knew how to sing the song. I taught her how to spell her name at a very young age. Okay? Remember the bingo? B-I-N-G-O, B-I-N-G-O, and bingo was his name. So I just changed the words. There was a girl who loved her dad. Emily was her name. E-M-I-L-Y, E-M-I-L-Y. And I'd sing it to her over and over. Didn't sing mom. Okay, but she, E-M-I. Well, how do you spell your name? And she'd do it. You could see the it's cranking in her mind. E-M-I-L-Y. It's like, there you have it. Okay? Music is effective. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that you're going to sit there and listen to some garbage rap music talking about immorality and killing people and what's going on in the hood, and then you're going to sit there and crack open your Bible. Don't give me that. And by the way, parents, this is free, and this is Sunday night. This is Sunday morning. We'll throw it at you. You might want to watch what your kids have on their iPod. If you're not going to watch what they have, don't let them have one. In fact, you probably shouldn't. And that's why we don't think kids ought to have cell phones. No, not my. You know what? Crack that thing from them and see what music they have. Oh, but that's just. We've had it in the school before. I've seen the songs. You do not have to be a brain surgeon to know what's in that song by just reading the names of the songs. I couldn't pronounce them in, I couldn't say it in church. Fact of the matter is, I probably shouldn't say it in public. Just some of the names of the groups. You've got to be kidding me. You can't have your children putting that garbage in their mind or in your mind. And then when you crack open the Bible, you're like, I don't get it. Let me just tell you. I used to listen. I loved music. Now, none of this, they didn't have rap music in my day. Praise the Lord. They did have disco music, but we got through it. But, man, I liked rock and roll. I was in. That was my music. And we didn't have CDs or MP3s, man. We had albums about the size of a Mack truck, you know. And, man, I had this whole album collection. And then my sister was about, Janet was probably about 10 years older than me, so she was like the decade before generation. She had a bunch of albums, so she gave me those, so I had her collection. I had my collection. We were doing pretty good. And then, man, I start going to church, and they weren't really preaching on rock music, and I'm reading my Bible, and I'm going home, and I'm listening to, you know, Blue Oyster Cult or whatever I was listening to. And it didn't take long for me to realize something. What he is talking about does not match up with what I'm reading. And as I read, I'm like, you know what? Something's got to go. And I pulled the trash. And trash day was Tuesday. So I got one of the empty trash cans on Monday night. I got all my albums. I put them in the trash can, and I wheeled it out to the front. Oh, I could have sold them. There was no eBay back then. I wouldn't go, why would I sell that garbage to somebody? No one came in my face and said, hey, quit listening to that stuff. I just realized that what I was listening to and what I was reading were incompatible. And I was trying to go this direction, and the music was telling me, go this direction. We have to change our minds. Be very, very careful. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rain on your parade today. There is so much garbage in this world, we have to be very careful. By the way, let me throw this out here. This is culture. Don't let your kids watch a Cartoon Network. Do you know the Cartoon Network just puts a show on called Black Jesus? How many of you heard of that? It's a black man that is Jesus. He uses the F word. He uses drugs and deals in drugs. That's called blasphemy.
Yes, it is.
You understand that? And see, what happens if we're not up on these things? A Cartoon Network. When I think of cartoons, I think of Super Chicken, okay? We'll throw that one out there from Friday night. How many remember Super Chicken? Man, someone told me that, and I still remember the song. You know, that was crazy. But anyhow, I ain't singing it. It's just cluck, cluck, cluck. I ain't doing it. We had a good time with that one on Friday. I'm just telling you. It's like, Super Chicken. I remember Super Chicken. The super sauce, man. He was a good guy. Until we invented, you know, wings. But it's, we have to be very careful. That's not what's on these networks anymore. And all this, you say, what's the big deal about it? It's indoctrinating the children. Okay? Oh, the Disney Channel. No. That's not, when I think of Disney, you know what I think of? I think of Pollyanna. She was a liberal, but Pollyanna. That's not what Disney's playing anymore. They're showing families with two dads and two moms and all this nonsense. We have to guard what gets in our mind, people. Because you cannot dictate what it does in your life. You can only dictate what you put in your mind. We're not going to finish, so let me just throw this out. Years ago, we went to, my wife and I think on our honeymoon, we came to California. Someone gave us tickets to go to, I think it was Knott's Berry Farm. At that time, they had this, I don't have anymore. It was a little building, and it was like a little round building, like completely round. And you would go into that building, and you would stand, and there was a rail, and you would hold the rail. You'd stand there and hold the rail. And then they would play this video, but the video was 360 degrees. It was a, you were inside of a dome. So everywhere, 360 degrees, all above you, was this picture of whatever they were showing you. Now, what the interesting thing is, because that's all my eyes saw, it tells your body that what you're seeing on the screen is real. And so your body reacts accordingly. They had this, the very first thing they showed is, it was a fire truck. And it's going to a fire, and it's going full speed. And every time it would turn the corner, you would lean. And you'd lean this way. And then all of a sudden, in one of the scenes, a car pulled out in front of it, put the brakes on, and I mean, you go forward. That's what the rail was for. If you didn't hold the rail, then they put you on a roller coaster. I'm like, I'm not going to hold that rail. And as soon as that whole roller coaster took a right turn, I'm ready to fall. Now look, the room wasn't moving. All I had to do to keep from moving around was close my eyes. Once I closed my eyes, I didn't move. But see, my mind was being told with the sounds and the sights that this was real. And it was getting into my mind, and my body just naturally reacted. That's what's happening when you put things in your mind that aren't right. Your body's going to react in the wrong way. Your mind is leading your life. Now, I've been negative for a few minutes. Let me just back and we'll land the ship here. Let me be positive. It works on the positive side too. Man, I want to live for God. You know what you do? Get in his book. You know why? The good stuff comes in, the good stuff comes out. We'll get it where the net. Let's do the, maybe come to more church services. Hear more of what's going on. Listen, I'm telling you, appetites change. Let me go back to this. When I told you I love rock music and I'm going to church, I can't listen to that junk anymore. But because that's all I ever listened to, when I went to church, I'm like, I don't like that stuff either. I can't listen to that stuff, and I don't like the stuff I'm hearing at church. So I thought, I just won't listen to anything. No big deal. But as I sat in church and I started understanding and I heard the words to the songs, by the way, we sing hymns because the hymns have good stuff in them. And I'm listening to these words, and I'm like, after a while, I'm like, that's good. That's why? Because it ministers to my spirit. The words are good. The people are sincere. It's talking about things that are righteous. And I'm like, I'm in on that. Look, if I'd have told myself when I was 17, you're going to be listening to, like, you know, the Lewis sisters or some gospel group, I'm like, you're crazy. You've got to be kidding me. But you know what? When I'm here 3 years later, I'm 20, I'm listening to that stuff, I look back and say, why in the world did I ever listen to that stuff in the first place? Yeah. It sounded good, it ministered to my flesh, but it wasn't good for me. The positive. That's why we need to get in God's Word. And the whole thing is about staying what? Connected to Christ. And it comes from having that relationship with Him and allowing that to flow in our minds. It transforms our life. And by the way, that's what you want. If you're new, hang with us. Hang in the church. Stay open to God. And just strive to grow as a Christian. You'll get to where I want you to be. But we have to stay connected to Christ. Let's pray this morning.